It's Wednesday, June 1st, 2022. Welcome to the Philly Press Box Radio Roundtable brought to you by the Irish Rover Station House in Langhorne, PA, and Allstate Insurance in Westchester, PA. I'm Bill Furman. I'll be your host tonight along with my partner, Jim Chet Jesko. Hey, Chet, the Philly season is getting away from them. They're really struggling, sitting 12 and a half games behind the Mets from the NL East, 7 games out of the last wild card spot, and it's only June 1st. The Eagles OTAs are underway. The Flyers haven't been able to pull the trigger on a new head coach. Ray Diddy has done his final show, and one of your favorites, Mikey Miss, suddenly joined him for his last show as well. As always, plenty to talk about on the Philly sports scene.
Yeah, it is a bit of a surprise to me, Bill, that the Flyers haven't made any sort of a hire as yet. Our Phillies predictions for 88 or 89 wins, Bill, not looking too good right now. And I'm going to lose a little money on that one, I think. And you mentioned the Eagles and OTAs. I'll tell you, the way the Phillies season is going, NFL action can't get here fast enough. The Eagles play their first regular season game 102 days from right now. I counted.
You already counted them, huh?
Yep.
Well, you know what? You hate to say June 1st is – too late, but it's getting late early, as they say. 50 games in, 12 and a half games back, that's an awful lot of ground to make up. Certainly not going to catch the Mets, I don't think. Can they make up? 7 games is a lot of games to make up when there's like 5 teams in front of you in the wild card spot. A lot of things have to happen, and this team is not in good shape to do that right now.
Yeah, almost a third of the season in now, Bill, because they played 50, as you said. They were, I think, 10-10 or 11-11 the first month, but then 10-18 in May, so that is not good. And the Pirates have a better record than the Phillies. Our pal Denny is happy about that, I guess. Phillies are the fifth worst team in the National League record-wise right now, even though they have the fifth highest payroll in all of baseball. Well, we're going to try to get some of that sorted out and talk about some of the other great stuff coming up, at least at the ballpark over the next couple of months, because our guest is here, Bill. So let's get her going.
Let's get to it and welcome back the director, Philly's director of fun and games, John Brazier, to Philly Press Box Radio. John, welcome back. Always my favorite title to talk about.
Well, thanks for having me on. I gave the title to myself. I think I told you that last time I was on 29 years ago. And I probably mentioned, too, did I mention that Bill Murray stole my title? Did I tell you that one? He really did.
I think so, yeah. That's pretty cool.
So if you look on Bill Murray's, if you look him up, so you see what his title is in baseball, he's director of fun. He left off the end game, so I guess he thought I was going to sue him or something.
Hey, if you're going to have somebody steal from you, might as well be a big movie star. Why not?
Yeah, I'm all for it.
Hey, John, we got to talk Phillies. Unfortunately, they have not been a whole lot of fun to watch of late. 5 straight losses as we speak. They were, I think, 10-18 or something like that in the month of May. Not so good. First of all, how did everything go so wrong this year? We had such high hopes for this team. What's happening here?
Yeah, it's, like everybody else, we're all fans that work here. The problem when you work here, too, or it can be a bonus, is that when the team is doing poorly, you suffer as a fan, but it also impacts your job. I have to go on radio shows. I do my own radio show. And it's tough to talk about, you know, losses, especially when they're tough losses. And it just seems there's so many of these one run games or extra inning games. And it just seems it's almost a different night where something bad happens, whether it's, you know, a ball that goes under someone's glove or whether it's a bullpen pitcher that comes out that's normally reliable and, you know, gives it up. We've had very few lockdown innings. And when the offense gets going, then, you know, in the beginning, then they go cold. And then the other team comes back. So it's just, you know, that if you look at the positives for starting pitching has been pretty good for the most part. When you look at Zach Wheeler, you look at Nolan now after, you know, he got off to, you know, kind of a tough start. But, you know, he's really been dealing, so to speak. Eflin's had definitely some great moments. Ranger's struggling a little bit. Ranger, you know, from last year, I think the expectations are so high. And I think with the bullpen, and I think Kyle Gibbs has been fine. So starting pitching certainly not has not been the problem. I think the problem is that our offense has gotten too streaky and our bullpen hasn't been able to hold down leads. And we really haven't, other than, you know, Knebel at the close, but even Knebel's, you know, not faring so well. He's having some difficulty. So, you know, we haven't established that, okay, we're going seventh inning, that's Sir Anthony, eighth inning, that's Brad Hand, you know, if it's a righty or lefty. You know what I mean? We haven't established that hierarchy in the bullpen. And the defense, you know, it was holding tight for a little while in the beginning. And then it seems every night there's a play that ends up costing us. So, you know, it's just, I guess in baseball, you go through these spurts and we need to turn around, definitely, because it's frustrating as a fan. It's certainly frustrating as an employee.
Well, John, as you mentioned, you know, being a fan, being an employee, social media can sometimes be the devil, I think, with all the chatter that's out there. But a lot of Joe Girardi chatter. Does that, are you able to keep that out of the building? You know, as Nick Saban says, it's rat poison.
Yes, because we all know Joe. You know, we all know Dave Dombrowski. We know, you know most of the players, at least a lot of the guys that deal with the clubhouse. So, you know, it's tough because you hear this from the fans, you hear it on talk radio, you hear it, you know, on the social media, but you know these guys. So you kind of want to naturally defend them. We get a little blinded, certainly. But, you know, I don't think you can really point your finger. I mean, especially with Joe Girardi, what are his options? It's not like he's got better options and he's going to the wrong option. He's trying different things and each guy is basically not doing their job. So I'm not saying he's not worthy of any criticism, but you know, I as a fan, I wouldn't criticize Joe because I think he's given what he's been given. So I don't know. I just think everyone's got to really turn around. I think we need to learn the culture of winning. And I thought, you know, by us bringing in, you know, Kyle Schwarber, who's been on many playoff teams, that would help. And, you know, Bryce Harper and some of the veteran leadership. But we just got to find, just get out of this rut and start going on a streak. We certainly have the hitters to be able to do it. And we can just catch the ball we're supposed to catch. You know, we're probably not going to make those spectacular plays, keep the starting pitching going. And I think the biggest concern is just we need to get that bullpen. We need guys to step up. Everyone needs to step up in that bullpen, from Bilotti to Norwood to everybody. I mean, the one guy I feel really comfortable about is Sir Anthony right now.
Yeah.
And that's probably the only one as a fan that I feel real comfortable about.
Hey, one guy who was having a pretty decent season hitting and actually defensively, second baseman Gene Segura. And then we find out today, he's out 10 to 12 weeks with that fractured hand. So
you kind of had a feeling when he got hit last night, yeah. And he just, you know, you knew he was in pain. That is a big blow because he is, you know, he's one of the guys that if there's guys on third base with two outs and you're down by a run, he's probably the one of the few guys you say, I want this guy up at bat because he makes contact. You know, he's clutch. So, yeah, that's going to hurt.
John, certainly a big, big step from coming from Lehigh Valley up to the big leagues. But we seem to really have a depth problem. And when we need Stott, he's not doing very well. Quinn certainly didn't do very well. We've got Moniak up here now. I think everybody's hoping he's going to do well. That remains to be seen. These guys that are more than bench players now, they're going to have to step in and play regular, need to play well.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, it's winning's contagious. So when the guys are loose, when you're young and guys are loose, you got a lot of guys performing well in front of them, then they're loose and there's not as much pressure. Conversely, when you start going through a losing streak and the veterans aren't, you know, doing much, and all of a sudden now the guys like Stott and Moniak and other guys are asked to do more, they already have pressure enough because they really haven't established themselves in the major league. And all of a sudden, they've got the added pressure of, you know, especially if you're a Moniak, well, you know, if I don't do well, I'm going to get sent down. You know, it just seemed like in spring training, everything slowed down for him. And now here, I don't know whether the pitchers have the book on him or they probably don't because they don't have enough at bats to do that. But I think just a lot of it is just, you know, it's we're in that bat. If we were in an 8-game winning streak and they were brought up, I think it's totally different. They're relaxed. They know that they're basically just gravy, as opposed to being an integral part of that offense. So, you know, I just think we need to put them in the situation so they're more relaxed.
And the losing certainly doesn't help bring fans to the ballpark. But you do have the Angels coming in this weekend with Ohtani and Mike Trout. And then you got a bunch of things that are pretty cool on the June and July calendars. If I put up the June sked, you can see that there are some cool things happening. You have a bobblehead for a certain MVP on June 10th. There's a post-game concert, a Father's Day appreciation giveaway item. Tell us about some of the things coming up on the sked, John.
Well, the one thing, you know, the weekend schedule has been pretty good all year as far as giveaways, opponents, you know, so the Angels, I mean, that's going to be pretty cool. I think we miss Ohtani, which maybe is a good thing. but yes, you know, we have the Angels coming in, so that's going to be very exciting. I know Ray Dittinger is throwing out the first pitch on Sunday.
Oh, nice.
You know, with the Diamondbacks, that whole weekend, we got the Bryce Harper bobble figurine on that Friday, and the Saturday after the 4 o'clock game. I love these guys. They performed here twice, Avett Brothers. I've gotten to know the bassist, Bob Crawford, super guy. But if anybody hasn't seen the Avett Brothers, they do a great, they're almost folk, country, rock. I call them y'all alternative because it's kind of country alternative. And then obviously a great Father's Day giveaway, bucket hat on the 12th. So a lot of stuff going on down the road. You mentioned post-game concerts, Avett Brothers. Yep. Then we also have Jake Owen, that's on July 23rd. So that's going to be pretty cool. The one thing that I'm going to love because it's very nostalgic, can't say I was a huge rap guy, but we have I Love the 90s concert on August 19th. And that's Rob Bass, Vanilla Ice, DJ Jazzy Jeff, Tone Loc. So that's going to be, that'll be fun. I'm actually really looking forward to that. And a lot of different giveaways. We've got Zach Wheeler, Pico Zach Wheeler replica jersey. The Wall of Fame night, which is in August, we haven't announced yet who the Wall of Fame nominees are going to be, but it's going to be, you'll have a, there's going to be a 1980s bent to it. So, that'll be good. So that whole weekend. So it's gonna be a fun nostalgic. That's always fun for us, you know, having these guys go in the Wall of Fame. And, that's gonna be a lot of fun and just, so it's just a lot of, and we have obviously fireworks on July 1st and July 3rd. Some fun things. So,
hey John, when you have a promotion like the Bryce Harper bobblehead night, I'm sure you guys have some sort of formula that you use. How much is a night like that? How many fans does that bring, or how many do you figure it's going to bring?
Yeah, you know, I think it all depends. It depends on who the player is. Depends on if the weekend. And it's interesting when you do a bobble, you know you're going to do a good crowd. So do you take normally like a Tuesday week opponent, you know, let's say you're playing the Marlins on a Tuesday night, you try to bring that from a, you know, right now, bring it from a 14,000 to maybe a 30,000. Or do you take like a Friday, Saturday against the, when you're doing the schedule, Friday, Saturday against the Dodgers, and let's bring that 30,000 to maybe a 44 to a sellout. So there's a little trickery there. You know, you can see it both sides. You also got to look at the player. You know, when we're doing a player bobblehead doll, you got to make sure that we have to talk to baseball ops and make sure that, you know, maybe someone in the last year of the contract, we did a bobblehead doll in August and we're doing somebody's on the last year's contract. Well, that guy might be gone. We found out the hard way when we traded away Hunter Pence when we already had a giveaway ready for him.
Yeah.
And so sometimes you get caught in that. I remember one time we had the bobbles that were stuck on a ship in China, I believe. So sometimes all the best plans, you know, that you do don't go wrong, but usually a bobble like that should increase it by, you know, you hope 10,000, 15,000 fans really, you know, when you combine it.
Hey John, there are some new food places at the ballpark this year. Colby's Southern Kiss Chicken, Ryan Howard, a partner in that.
Ryan was just here telling Miles Teller all about it. So I think Miles Teller's going to be trying one of those Southern Kiss Chickens.
Manco and Manco Pizza, I'm guessing both are pretty popular. And by the way, I saw that Boardwalk Eats, they have a peanut butter and jelly burger. I'm not so sure I want to try that.
Peanut butter and jalapeno jelly, jalapeno jam, cheeseburger. I do a radio show, and Airmark's been bringing by different foods. Love the Manco and Manco Pizza. Loved all the different, you know, the Colby's chicken. That burger, I had to get our producer to try it and have him tell me what it's like. I was worried about my acid reflux. You know.
Bill, talk to John for two more minutes. I got another question, but I gotta go take care of something right out here. You take care of John for the next 2 minutes.
All right. Sounds good. So John, with your activities that you do with the Phillies as the director of fun and games, you also do some other stuff. You have your own podcast. You have some other just baseball fan activities, I guess we'll call it. What all you have going on, and how can people listen?
Yeah, well, thank you for the plug. The podcast is Backstage with Burgoyne and Brazier. So Tom Burgoyne is the best friend of the Fanatic. We're best friends, and we you know, same age, and we've known each other for 29 years. And so we get along really well. We interview former players, coaches, other celebrities. You know, we've had Merrill Reese and Joe Watson and some other athletes. So you can find Backstage with Burgoyne and Brazier on iTunes, Spotify, Philly's website, anywhere you get your podcasts. I'm on the pregame show every Wednesday. I was on there today talking about either what's coming up, or sometimes I interview celebrities. Like, interviewed Eric Kratz not too long ago, and that's going to air in a couple of weeks. Kind of a quick, kind of fast moving questions I ask a different celebrity. And I also do a radio show. So the radio show is WBCB, and I do that with Tommy Green every Sunday. So 1490 WBCB, Merrill Reese is the GM. So I've been doing that for about, geez, I think about 20 years. And I really enjoy doing the radio part. And I also, you know, I'll go around to the different radio shows, WIP and MMR, MWA and XU, and promote the Phillies, 97.5. And so it's, I'm out there promoting. It's, I guess that's my job, is to, you know, to make sure that people know what games are coming up, what events are coming up, what celebrities are coming up, the food in the ballpark, all the different things that we have going on.
And I noticed yesterday that you were with our friend Leslie Goodell at Kendall's Crusade golf outing.
Yeah,
I only saw some pictures, but I'm going. Hey, Leslie's a good friend of ours. We've had her on the show a bunch of times. I'm going to assume it was another knockout event like it was last year.
It was last year was the first year I did it, and yet, you know, golfing one armed. Obviously, Kendall or his daughter, her daughter, lost the use of her arm, so. You know, it does certainly create empathy in her plight. And last year I struggled. This year I talked to this guy, Snappy Gilmore, who's a famous you know, social media star.
Yeah, he's
a golfer. And he gave me a couple tips. Biggest one was just choke down, because, you know, you have more control when you're choked down on the golf. And don't try to crush it. Just try to hit it straight. My group, we went. I was with Tom Burgoyne, and we had a couple other people, John Kincaid. And we finished even, so as a scramble, which is, it'd be bad if we were playing two hands, but one hand, we were pretty proud of that. We lost by one stroke. Not sure who beat us, but we lost by one stroke.
Probably that Kevin Riley beat you. He's got to build an advantage.
Right, I guess. Yeah, it was a great, I saw a ton, Kevin Riley and tons of celebrities were out there. It was just a fun event. I wish I could have stayed. I had to come back here for a game that night. But yes, great event. She puts on a phenomenal job. And the band afterwards, I'm kind of bummed I missed it, because last time it was Tim Williams' band, really yeah. good. If you haven't heard them, a local band that's really good.
John, I got to ask you one final thing. I saw this on Facebook a while ago. This is a picture from, I guess, 1988. What the heck is going on right here?
So I lived in Manchester, England for a year right out of college. And I played lacrosse for a club called Bourbon and Eccles, which is in Manchester, England. And, you know, I was playing lacrosse over there. I'd never played cricket. They said, John, we need you to play cricket. So I'm the only American at this club. And they got me a cricket outfit. I'm drinking a Boddington's beer, I think I am, over there. They gave me, the sunblock. Sometimes the sun does come out in England.
A lot of sunblock.
I got the hat. And I was definitely skinny. And and I had dark hair. So, yes, yeah, I showed that to my daughter, and she didn't recognize who that person was.
That's
I didn't tell her that's Dad.
Thanks, John.
Good stuff. John, one final question. You're a big Virginia Cavaliers fan. What good you got to say about the Cavs?
Well, I'll tell you a couple of things. One is that basketball, they had one of the best recruiting classes in the country. They had a tough year this year, but they have everyone coming back, which I guess is good and bad, but they have four freshmen. Not sure how many guys are going to play. Tony Bennett is not exactly gracious with his freshman time, first-year time. But I think we're going to be back. And then on football side, we have a new coach, Tony Elliott, who's the offensive coordinator from Clemson. You know, what's funny. I just was reading somewhere all they listed like the top quarterbacks. Brandon Armstrong never gets mentioned. Brandon Armstrong's a left-hander. You look at his numbers. I can't believe he doesn't get more notoriety. And I think, honestly, he could sneak into that Heisman, you know, conversation. I know Stout and, you know, obviously the Alabama and Young and a lot of other guys, but I'm telling you, I think he's probably going to be the best quarterback. Certainly now that Pickett's gone, I think he probably will be the best quarterback in the ACC and one of the top of the nation. So not sure. I think we'll be better. I mean, defensively we were terrible, but I think we should be better with a new coach. And yeah, it'll be fun.
John, thanks for joining us. Hopefully the Phillies can get out of their losing streak and get back to their winning ways tonight and get back in the race. And we'll see you again.
All right, let's hope that you guys bring us a, you know, start of a winning streak.
There you go.
Thanks,
John.
Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Hey, Chad, I'll tell you what, that thanks to John for joining us on the night game. At home, 6 o'clock start. The game was going on. He jumped on with us, and we certainly appreciate him doing that.
Yeah, we had to scramble a bit because he was hanging around with Miles Teller, who's in the new Top Gun movie. Miles threw out the first pitch, and they had to meet up with Ryan Howard. So a lot going on, and John still found 17 minutes to talk to us. So that was pretty cool.
Yes, it was. Well, hey, Chad, talking about the Phillies a little bit more. You know, there's some real things we couldn't get into the details there with John. We just didn't have enough time. But I'm wondering how long you could defend this team, I guess. We won't blame it on Girardi at the moment. When you have Kyle Schwarber hitting 185 in the leadoff spot, by the way, 32 hits and 65 strikeouts. And the number two man is Hoskins hitting 222 with 41 hits and 56 strikeouts. That's 121 strikeouts from your two top guys in your order in 50 games.
Yeah, that's not good. they gotta get these guys on base a little more because, you know, we were expecting 5, 6, 7 runs every night, and that's just not happening anywhere near as much as we thought. And, you know, the pitching hasn't been terrible. The starting pitching, the bullpen's been bad, though not as bad as last year. But, you know, we're counting on them to score 6, 7, 8 runs every night, and it's not happening. And that's why they're sitting right now at 21-29 and well out of the race currently on June 1st.
Yeah, well, you know, and everybody, and somewhat rightfully so, was blaming the bullpen. They got some problems out there. Last night, the bullpen didn't pitch bad until late, you know, but score a run along the way, you win the game, right?
Yeah. Leaving too many guys on base still. You know, you had the one statistic today that you sent around to a group that you were in, not the official left on base number, but guys who had an opportunity to drive and run. It was something like 31 opportunities. Yeah, last night in one game. And, you know, that's a big reason. Now, the night before, they weren't too bad as far as that, but they still came up short and lost in extra innings. It just seems like it's always something with this team. They're losing a lot of tight games, and now they got another key injury to Gene Segura, as we discussed with John, who's going to be out until late August, it looks.
Yeah, and Bryce Harper is a scratch today in today's game with a forearm soreness injury or something. Yeah. You know, though, Chet, the one thing that I'm not going to give Joe Girardi a pass on, I'm not sure I'm giving him much of a pass anyway, but the one thing I'm not giving him a pass on is fundamental baseball. This team is poor fundamentally, and that's on the coach. We've talked about this in other years with other coaches, but, you know, not hitting the cutoff man. Something when we were coaching high school, JV high school baseball, we practice every single day. Hit the cutoff man, throw a line drive, don't throw a bloop ball that goes over the cutoff man's head. That's simple from 14 years old. And here we are in the big leagues, and we can't find a cutoff man. We can't communicate in the outfield. That's on the coach.
Yeah, there was the play last week in the outfield, the center field and right fielder not being sure who made the call. In Tuesday night's game, Familia not getting over to cover first right away and then ending up, you know, with an error trying to throw home. So it was just a mess. And, you know, we expect them to be subpar defensively, but now it's really starting to show up. And with Segura out, he was actually one of the better fielders. That's going to hurt. They have, what, Camargo and Maton, who was just called up the middle of the infield tonight. So, you know, I'd like to be optimistic about this team, Bill, but I'm just not seeing it.
Yeah, and tonight they've actually they've actually given Alec Bohm the night off in the field. He's the DH. So Camargo, they got Camargo, Maton, and what's his name? Stott.
Also, Bohm's not at third. They have Stott at short, I guess.
Right. Stott is at short. Camargo's at third. And Maton is at second.
Oh, yeah. That was after the Harper scratch. Yeah. Bohm was initially in the lineup at third. But then when Harper got scratched, they had to make adjustments. Okay.
Yeah. I'm not thinking that lineup is scaring too many people. I mean, and I add into that, as I said to John, you get these guys, we understand it's a big leap to get to the big leagues, but, Roman Quinn, he couldn't have been gone soon enough in my mind. Six hits and 15 strikeouts. Mickey Moniak is struggling already. He's only had six at bats. He struck out almost all of them, four or five of them. Yeah. Just how much rope do you go with Stott? He's hitting 123. Somebody got to play here.
Well, now we're going to see what they're going to do, because with Segura out for 10 to 12 weeks and Didi, just coming back and probably not 100% yet, they're going to have to play Stott more often. They're going to have to give Moniak a shot out in center field. And I think they really have to make a decision on him. He had the great spring, but, now it really counts. So we're going to see what he can do out there. I mean, it's either him or Herrera. I know nobody loves Herrera, although you think he should be the leadoff guy, at least to see what he can do. And I understand that he can get streaky. He can get very hot. So I think they give Moniak another week or so. And if that doesn't work out, then you got to go back to Herrera. It's not good, Bill.
Yeah. Well, I'd have put Herrera in there and put him in that leadoff spot and left him there. And, I think I said that a couple of weeks ago. Kyle Schwarber, I mean, he's hit 185, for goodness sake. He can't be your leadoff guy. This team, one other statistic I'm going to throw at you, Chet, 50 games in, 451 strikeouts, 396 hits.
So you're talking 9 strikeouts a game from the hitters, which sounds about right for them.
Yeah, but only 396 hits. You're striking out more than a hit. You're not making outs. You're striking out more than you're getting a hit. That's just unbelievable to me. And one final comment I'll make, we talked a little bit about this last week. Aaron Nola with a 356, Kyle Gibson with a 383, and Zach Wheeler with a 316 ERAs. I don't know, you call them all aces, but they're three quality pitchers that should be winning games, and you can't win games with them because you can't score runs or you can't hold the lead. Not good there.
Yeah, and they don't have anybody really to help them from the minors. There are two guys who they could call up. I guess Derek Hall, the first baseman of Lehigh Valley, he's got 15 home runs. And the pitcher, reliever, who was up for a cup of coffee earlier, Francisco Morales, has been great down there. So, maybe he's a guy who could help in the bullpen in the latter part of the games. We'll see, but I mean, it might not matter come July 1st, the way things have gone up here until June 1st.
Well, yeah. And I guess the other thing that kind of gets me as I watch these games, I think Joe Girardi does not have confidence in a bunch of those guys out in that bullpen. And, Sir Anthony has pitched pretty well. Brad Hand has pitched pretty well. Knebel has pitched pretty well until the last week when he's just been not good. But I think when you have guys like Bilotti and Brogdon.
I don't want to see Bilotti again.
Well, I mean, that was just a bad pitch last night. He threw a meatball and
the night before.
Yeah. but, I think Connor Brogdon is interesting. I don't know that they have a lot of confidence in him. He warmed him up twice one night, didn't bring him in, warmed him up last night, and then sat him down, and then finally did bring him in, and he pitched well. But it just doesn't seem like Joe has a lot of confidence in some of those guys out there. And they're on the big league roster because they're good. Let them play. Let them play and build some confidence, and maybe you start winning some games.
All right, before we end our Phillies discussion, I'm going to put you on a lie detector, Bill, and I need your answer.
Okay.
Is Gabe Kapler a better manager than Joe Girardi?
Well, I will say no.
Oh, I'm going to say the evidence says that he is by far. I mean, he had a inferior lineup to the Phillies, I think, last year, and they won, what, 107 games? They're much better than the Phillies this year with a comparable lineup. They're not that much better, I don't think, than the Phillies on paper. I'm saying Gabe Kapler, maybe he wasn't the right fit for this Phillies team, but, you know, he's doing a pretty good job.
Did you forget that Girardi won some World Championships for the Yankees? Or are you talking about today with the
I'm talking about right now. I'm talking about right now.
Yeah, well, probably so. Probably so, but I'm not Kapler's a flake. He ain't getting nothing from me. Yeah, I don't like him. Get back in the clubhouse during the national anthem, too.
Oh, here we go. You know, people also wanted Francona out of town when he was with the Phillies. He went on to win a couple of World Series elsewhere and get there with another team, too. So maybe it's just Philadelphia, Bill.
Well, maybe it is. And there could be some of that. You know, we talked about that. Actually, I posted it about bringing out the best in the Philly fans. We've had some people. We don't know what you need to do, but do something. You know, fire people. Just whoever it is, fire them. We're bringing the best out in the Philly faithful.
I think people need more insurance, Bill, don't you?
No, absolutely. So, Chet, you know why they need more insurance? Because gas prices, they keep going up. They keep going up and they keep going up. But travel is going to be going down because your couch is getting more mileage in your car, and it's only going to get worse through the summer, I'm afraid. It's time to start saving with Allstate's pay-as-you-go auto insurance.
Yes, sir, Bill. Allstate's pay-as-you-go auto insurance puts you in control. You only pay for the miles you drive with the same full coverage that a traditional policy offers. Pay-per-mile insurance gives customers greater control of their insurance costs. See how much you can save with pay-per-mile car insurance by calling your local agent in Westchester, Pennsylvania. That is Dave Lavoie. Call Dave at 610-430-0700. Once again, 610-430-0700, and start to save more now that you are driving less. And I got to see and hear this guy again right now.
Hi, this is Ray Dinger, and it is always fun to talk sports with these two guys, Bill and Chet, on Philly Press Box Radio.
Well, speaking of Ray Diddy, Chet, the much-anticipated final weekend of shows with Ray and this past weekend with Glenn Macnow. I know you were traveling over the weekend. Did you get to listen to the podcasts on Saturday and Sunday, even if you didn't get to listen live? And with that, what about one of your faves, Mikey Mist, clear out of the blue, announced that he is finished as well?
I'm going to save my thoughts about Mikey Mist until a little bit later in the show, Bill. But as for Ray Diddy, I didn't get to listen to all of those final two shows just yet. But I did hear some chunks of the Saturday show, which I heard was a lot of fun. That was like a party. And then I did hear all of the Sunday show, the final one, via podcast last night and this morning. So that was pretty cool. I got a little teary-eyed near the end, as Glenn and Ray did, too. I'm really happy for Ray, though, knowing that he'll be able to relax now and travel and enjoy his family. But on the other hand, you know, as we discussed last week, I'm going to miss hearing him every weekend on the radio and seeing him in the fall on Eagles pre- and post-game live. But still, I wish Ray the very best. Just one of the most talented guys in the business ever and one of the nicest guys in the world.
Yeah, and I think as the more and more we see it, the more and more we hear about it, it's the good guy thing. I mean, the fact that he prepared and he was knowledgeable and all this and that is one thing. But the fact that he was such a good guy to everyone he met, and there's no one that can say a bad word about him. And I wanted to say, Chet, as I've been reading the book, Finished Business, there's a really interesting section in there, kind of early in the book, where Ray was invited into the coach's office. Did you read the book? Have you read the book yet?
I am 60% through the book, about 180 pages in out of 315.
Okay, so you probably saw the part where he was invited into the coach's office as a 23-year-old reporter to watch film with the coach.
Yes.
So that when he was making critical comments in the newspaper, that he knew what he was talking about. And Ray took the coach up on that and spent time every week in the coach's office to learn the game. And, you know, because the coach said, you call out the cornerback for making a mistake that was really the safety's coverage.
Right.
The cornerback is going to be the one that's going to get crucified by the fan base and you got it wrong. And there's no way for the player to respond to that. So great for Ray. That's why he's the knowledgeable guy that he is. He dug in, and I thought that was an outstanding part of the book.
And, you know, Glenn pointed out on Sunday that the date, May 29th, happened to be exactly 33 years after Mike Schmidt made his tearful retirement back in 1989 when the Phillies were out on the West Coast. So, yeah, 33 years later, we hear Ray saying goodbye. And did John Brazier break some news that Ray's thrown out the first pitch this Sunday?
Actually, we heard that somewhere. Didn't Ray tell us that?
Oh,
but I don't know. I didn't know he told us a day when it was going to be. But it is this Sunday.
Yeah, how
about according that? To John. So you gonna be there?
I will not be there this Sunday, but I do hope to be there the following Friday for the Bryce bobblehead night.
Very good, very good. That ought to be a nice event.
Yeah.
All right. So any more comments on Mikey Mist, or you want to just wait on that?
I'm going to save that until later. But, you know, you mentioned that I was traveling over the weekend. I was actually down in New Orleans visiting our son, seeing the sights. And I even made a stop, Bill, at Manning's, the sports bar downtown. And that was pretty cool. A lot of great stuff all over the walls down there. And this is the picture that I'm posting now is on the outside. It's actually just a brick wall with one of those, you know, cardboard things right in front of it. So, of course, I had to take a picture, being the picture guy that I am. But a lot of great pictures of the Manning brothers and their other non-celebrity brother and, of course, Dad Archie. So it was pretty cool to go in there, see all of that, and have a beer.
All right, cool stuff. Hey, I want to just throw out here kind of in the middle. This is a breaking news story, even though it's a Dallas Cowboys story. Chet, rest in peace, Marion Barber. 38, just 38 years old, running back. Apparently, you know, we can't stop talking about this enough, Chet. Mental illness issues in his history, apparently. And they did a wellness check. And they found Marion Barber passed away at just 38 years old.
That's a shame.
I don't care that he played for the Cowboys. I hate to see a young man's life be gone.
Yeah, and we had a Cardinal die in a car crash the other day, just 25 or 27.
So. Yeah, Arizona Cardinal. Yeah. That's right. All right, Chet, let's take a break and talk about the Irish Rover Station House, one of our favorite things. Where are things going at the Rover?
Always something happening at the Irish Rover Station House, Bill. You know that. And at the Rover this weekend, Thursday through Sunday, their dinner specials include horseradish crusted strip steak and Chipotle lime chicken. That sounds pretty yummy. They have chef created killer burgers every Thursday. They change it up every Thursday with a different variety of killer burgers. And mark your calendars for Sunday, June 19th, because that is the day for the annual Irish Rover Legendary Father's Day Car Show. It is back, and they expect a big crowd this year after what happened the last couple of years, of course. I was there for the car show in 2018, I believe, and it was very, very cool. They had a lot of great cars and specials to go along with it. It all happens at the Irish Rover on Bellevue Avenue in Langhorne. Find out all you need to know on their website, irishroverstationhouse.com.
Absolutely. Hey, Chet, the Eagles held their first of six OTAs yesterday. They're certainly going about things a little differently under second-year coach Nick Sirianni this year.
I don't know what the difference is. You tell me, because you're up on this. I was away, and I didn't really read too much about the OTAs. I just know that they started. What's Nick doing?
Well, they're allowed 10. They're only going to do six practices. No 11 on 11s. They will do some 7-on-7 for timing for quarterbacks, receivers, DBs, those sort of things. They're not going full pads, I don't think at all. And basically what they're trying to do is get what they have been learning in the classroom and through virtual learning and so forth, get it on the field and do basically run-throughs. And Sirianni came up with this after meeting with his players, his leadership group, and they're cutting back on all the contact and all that here in June. No reason to be banging into people in June. And once this is done, and it's not even an everyday thing. It was yesterday, and I believe it's again tomorrow. Maybe it's every other day, something like that. But, you know, they won't be back again until camp opens. So this is it. A lot of learning, and we'll see how it works out. The only, you know, the only thing that really worries me about some other teams are doing this too. Tackling in the NFL isn't very good to start with. And if you're going to tackle less, I don't know if you're going to tackle better.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, I'm wondering, is Jalen Reagor there? I mean, is he showing up? Do we know?
I do not know. I do not know. I think it's mandatory, so I'd assume he is or he's not getting paid. So he's still on the club, so I guess
from what I understand, it would cost them more to cut him than to keep him. So I guess, you know, they have to keep him on the payroll, hope he shows up and maybe surprises them by, you know, being committed to getting better now that he's in his third year or fourth year, whatever it is.
That wide receiver bunch is going to be fun to watch. We'll see how it works out. But we also know, Chip, been watching this stuff for a long time, is you got to have depth, got to have guys. Something's going to happen to people. It always does. And guy gets nicked up. Somebody got to be able to step up. Next man up. Got to have him.
As I said, Bill, 102 days till the Eagles open their season September 11th. So something to look forward to, assuming the Philly season keeps going the way it's going.
That's right.
Anything else on the Eagles?
Nothing else on the Eagles that I know of at this point. Hopefully we'll have a little more report. Like I say, only one practice in yesterday. Not really much was said about that yet. But probably by next week, they will have played through their six practices and we'll know a whole lot more.
In that case,
whoa, look out.
I think we need to squeeze in a little random chat, Bill. Why not? Bill, I don't know if you got there, but as I said, I would. I went to the movies to see the first big blockbuster of the summer. There aren't a lot of movie franchises where the sequel is better than the first one. Maybe Aliens and Terminator 2 for me. Oh, and Bride of Frankenstein, because that was a sequel to Frankenstein. Bride of Frankenstein was terrific. Well, Top Gun Maverick is also pretty damn good. In fact, I'm going to use the word fantastic for that one. So here's the deal. It took, 35 years to get this sequel made, and, you know, then it was delayed another couple of years because of the pandemic. But in the new one, the sequel has Tom Cruise's character, Pete Maverick Mitchell, as still something of a rebel, doesn't always follow orders. And in the sequel, he's enlisted to train some brand new fighter pilots and pick the very best ones for a crucial mission. One of those pilots happens to be the son of Maverick's old pal, Goose, who died tragically in the 1986 movie. As you might expect, Maverick and that newcomer, Rooster, played by a guy who's at Citizens Bank Park this evening, Downingtown native Miles Teller. They don't hit it off right away. Now, if you saw the first movie, you'll understand why. But anyway, there is plenty of time for that to change. And the action in Top Gun Maverick is fantastic. And because I saw it in IMAX, well, the cinematography and the sound are really, really terrific. So don't wait for this one to come to cable or DVD. See it in the theater, preferably in IMAX if you can. It is by far the best of the 10 or 11 movies that I've seen this year. Lots of fun and a solid A from me, everybody. Go see Top Gun Maverick. And that includes you, Bill Furman.
Well, don't tell anybody, but I think I'm going to see it tomorrow night.
Whoa!
I don't do theaters very much.
I know, I know.
I believe I am going to see it tomorrow night.
So well, I have the AMC Stubbs list thing, so I can see, you know, three movies every single week for one low monthly charge. That includes IMAX, so I was able to see it in IMAX. So spring for the extra couple of bucks, Bill. See it in IMAX because you'll hear the sound all around you. The screen is bigger. I highly recommend it.
Well, hopefully I think we can see it around here in IMAX. I don't know. Let's find out. We would check it out. I'll see if they get an A for me next week. How's that sound?
There you go. I can't wait for your review.
All right. Now, Chad, the Flyers, they must sure be doing their due diligence. They can't come to terms with it, or else they can't come to terms with a head coach. How important is it to get the new man on board with the playoffs still being played? They're starting the conference finals or the Eastern Conference finals tonight.
I'm not sure if it's that important that it happens immediately, but it is crucial that they land the right guy. I am surprised, as I said, that they haven't yet landed one of the guys that they have interviewed. I don't know what the holdup is. I mean, you would think if they wanted Trotz or Tortelli that they would get the deal done. So maybe they're hesitant. Maybe the candidates are just not quite ready to commit. I don't know. And by the way, Rangers Lightning in the East Finals, I can't root for either of those teams, Bill.
Well, I would not root for the Rangers if they were playing themselves. So I am going to root for the Lightning. I live down here. I'm not a big Lightning fan, but they are really good. There's two really good goaltenders in the East. There is no goaltending in the West. So that should be interesting when it comes to the cup time. Defense usually wins championships, so we'll see. But I'm going to root for the Lightning in the East, and I think they are going to win that, by the way.
Do they get good crowds for playoff games in Tampa Bay?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Hockey now, I mean, they've won two cups in a row.
Because I know for baseball that they always had trouble, you know.
Right. No, I mean, with the Tom Brady situation with the Bucks, they sell that out now.
Yeah.
They sell out Lightning because they are winning Stanley Cups. But as I told you, I was at the Rays game the other day. They had about 8,000 people in an empty dome. So that's the way it goes, I guess. Well, and hopefully the Flyers deal, maybe it is that they're trying to get one of these big guys and they just haven't got the contract worked out yet. But it's getting to be time, I'm thinking.
I'm thinking so, too. I would like to see it done before the Stanley Cup playoffs end.
Absolutely. All right, let's give a shout-out to all the shows over at the Edge of Philly Sports Network this week. Again, as always, wall-to-wall coverage. The network is loaded. You can catch all the action on www.eopsports, as well as the Edge of Philly Sports on YouTube. You can find our show on Philly Press Box Radio YouTube channel as well. Appreciate you hitting the subscribe, like, and follow those follow buttons and share with your family and friends. Mondays, Broad Street Bully Podcast. Tuesday, Matty B talking Philly sports. And final, Philly's fighting Philly's final every night after the game. Matty B doing a great job with that. Really interesting stuff and real in-depth as well. Us on Wednesday nights early. Big Al and Joey do the Edge of Philly Sports Big Show Wednesdays at 9:30. Check that out. Saturday morning, 9 a.m., Breakfast with the Boys, the Patterson Avenue Fanatics. Check that out as well. And Sunday, All Lacrosse All the Time, Lacrosse Philly and Beyond at 9 p.m. Check them out. Good stuff across the EOP network, Chet.
Yeah, indeed. And you know, you mentioned subscribing. It was at the end of this past year, we had right around 100 subscribers. And I said, that's not nearly enough. We should have 200, certainly, by the end of this coming year, which is 2022. And we're kind of right on pace for that. We have 142, but that's still way, way, way lower than it should be. We're talking about YouTube subscribers. People watch us elsewhere, too. You know, Facebook and Twitter, and some just listen to the podcast later on, which is fine. But if you subscribe to our YouTube channel, we would appreciate it. As I said, the goal is to get to 200 by the end of this year. We're kind of right on pace for that. So help us out. Subscribe. Go to Philly Press Box Radio on YouTube and please subscribe.
Yeah. And to that, you know, you can watch the whole show there. And we also do cutouts. So you might just, if you just wanted to watch the John Brazier interview tonight or the Ray Dittinger interview the other night, you could just watch the interviews and you don't have to watch the whole show if you don't want or you don't have time to do it. You can, we do cutouts of different things throughout the show. So check it out. Like us, follow us, Philly Press Box Radio on YouTube.
Yes, sir.
All right, Jed, great guest tonight in John Brazier. Who's coming to Philly Press Box Radio next week?
Well, Bill, I'm hoping that we have two guests next week, but I know for sure whom one of them will be. It's a guy we haven't talked to since right before the pandemic-shortened 2020 season began in midsummer of that year. And it is just another one of these great, great guys who's been around for a long, long time in the Philly sports scene. The gentleman who is now in his 50th year as Philly's PA announcer, it is the great Dan Baker. You'll remember we talked to Dan right before that shortened season began, and he ended up having to miss, I think, the whole season because of his cancer. He basically has cheek cancer, face cancer, and he's had something like 17 surgeries or whatever for that or various procedures. So he's there. He's working every game this year, and he will be on our show next week. Always great to talk to Dan Baker.
Yeah, he's good. He's good. It's good to have him back in the box this year too.
And Lou Nolan, 50th year together. So, man, they're going to be tough to replace whenever that happens.
Absolutely. All right, let's take another quick break. Thank our friends at the PPCC 118 Raz Room. They post great sports memorabilia on their Facebook page so people can take the chance of winning something they may not be able to afford or have access to. All items come with certificates of authenticity. They continue to run out great autograph memorabilia from all the Philly teams and more. They have small line razzes that give greater odds of winning. Check out their Facebook page, like it or follow it. It's PPCC 118 Razz Room. That's right, PPCC 118 Razz Room on Facebook.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, Chet, speaking of memorabilia, because you know that's kind of my thing, one of my things, the National, what they call the National Memorabilia Show this year is in Atlantic City. And it is July 26th. Starts on a Tuesday, goes through July 31st. Come check it out. Going to be a ton of Philadelphia sports players there, but tons of Hall of Famers. There's probably going to be, I'll say, 100 to 150 athletes there signing. Hundreds and hundreds of dealers with memorabilia, things you'll never see anywhere else, really cool stuff. Come by Atlantic City and check it out.
And all autographs for you and me will be free, right?
Right. Unless we're signing for each other, probably
yeah,
not.
That's about it.
It's not.
Oh, well.
Oh, good
stuff. Would have been nice.
All right. Do you want to get to your parting shot, sir?
Yeah, why not? Let's do that. Bill, we talked earlier about the fact that Ray Didinger is now officially retired. He did his final two WIP shows over the weekend. We had known for nearly a month that that was happening, but then, you know, Tuesday afternoon, we got the surprising news that Mike Missinelli would be leaving 97.5 The Fanatic. Kind of came out of nowhere, as you said. The station essentially told him they were not renewing his contract when it expired here in June, and they apparently have a successor already picked out, although they haven't announced anything to that effect. Now, Crossing Broad late last night, citing sources, said the new show will be co-hosted by Tyrone Johnson and Hunter Brody with some Ricky Pitalico involvement as well. That's still kind of sketchy, but that's what Crossing Broad reported. Anyway, listen, I know that some people loved Mikey Miss, some people hated him. Well, with the exception of the aforementioned Ray Didinger, you could say that about every single sports talk show host in Philly, really. Everyone. As you know, I was a big fan, mainly because I seemed to almost always agree with his takes on the Philly sports scene. But, I mean, he is a very, very bright guy. He's a Penn State alum also, and I also liked the fact that he and his radio partners, Tyrone and Jen, would mix in some talk about music, movies, and TV. Who does that sound like? I don't know what is next for Mike Missinelli, but I do wish him the very best. So take care, Mikey Miss, and best of luck to you.
Yeah, interesting timing there, I guess. And he had enough sick days of vacation. He just said, you know what? If you're not renewing my contract, I'm out. See you. I'll say goodbye.
Yeah.
And I'm gone. So was it yesterday? Today.
Yeah, yesterday.
Yesterday. So,
yeah,
going to be interesting. The Philadelphia radio wars are heating up again. And because I guess if your other boy, Cataldi, checks out at the end of the year, like they're saying, it'll be all up in the air. So, we'll
and
see.
Some people wondered if maybe Missinelli would move back to WIP in the morning. Who the heck knows? Stay tuned, as they say in the biz. Hey, this is not a continuation of the parting shot. It's not really a random chat, but back in the 70s and even into the 80s, Bill, when I first really got into the whole classic rock scene, I was also a subscriber to Cream magazine and Cream and Circus, as a matter of fact. They were both very popular back then. And Cream was around from 1969 until 1989. And we got the word today that Cream magazine is coming back. In fact, they launched the website already today, cream.com. That's CREEM.com. And there will be a, I think, quarterly physical publication as well. So I was a huge fan, loved reading this magazine. And you can have digital archives also of every single past issue, 224 issues from that 20-year period. As I said, I was a big fan. It taught me a lot about the music world, and I was just ecstatic to see that news today. So cream.com, check it out.
Well, I'll tell you what, Jet, it's 7:55, and I'm glad we've made it this far. We got Cream magazine in here. We're not getting Johnny Depp in there. I was worried about that. But I, but hey, I see there's a surprise that you haven't told me about. Bill Furman bobbleheads. Who knew?
Where do we get them?
Who knew? Is this something you and Joe have been working on that no one's told me about?
You got the big head already, Bill. So all you got to do is do the bobble now.
I didn't know anything about it, but I appreciate it. Joe's let the cat out of the bag. I'm looking forward to it. Jet, thanks for taking care of that for me.
You know, about a year ago through Groupon, I actually ordered myself a bobblehead, or I put in order and I never followed through on it. I was going to get my own bobblehead made and I never completed the process. So someday I shall do that. So did we mention anything else tonight? Let's see. Joel Embiid on the mend. He had surgery on the thumb and his pinky finger too. Get well, Joel, and try to stay healthy for an entire season. It would be nice. Memorial Day weekend.
Or we might start calling you Roman Quinn.
Oh, gosh. The official, unofficial start of summer is here, and I was in the pool already a couple of times, so I'm looking forward to it. I don't mind these 90-degree days up here in the Northeast.
90-degree water in my pool, my friend.
Yeah, I like that. It was only like 81 at our place on Monday when I got back from New Orleans, but I was in the pool on Monday and hopefully again this weekend.
Sounds good. All right, let's wrap this thing up. Let's thank tonight's special guest, John Brazier, our sponsors, the Irish Rover Station House, Bob Sullivan's LikeYourAge.com, PPCC 118 Raz Room, and Dave LaVoy of Allstate Insurance in Westchester, PA. For Jim Chet Chesko, this is Bill Furman. We hope you enjoyed the show. We'll join Philly Press Box Radio next Wednesday, June 8th at 7 p.m. You can see us live on Facebook. Listen through our website, PhillyPressBoxRadio.com. On blogtalkradio.com/Philly Press Box Radio, on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and all the others. With that, all we got to root for, Chet, is the Phillies. High hopes, Philadelphia sports fans. High hopes.